The Warrior Soul podcast is written, produced, and edited by me, Chris Albert. Our goal is to empower U.S. military veterans to live their absolute best lives. And we do that by providing tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas that they can apply into their lives to become wiser, stronger, smarter, more resilient, and more capable human beings in the civilian world. If you're not a veteran, stick around because anything we talk about here can obviously apply to you. And if you like what we have to say and the information we provide and the guests we bring on, please head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and review. It really helps to spread word about the show and to get this helpful information into the hands of more veterans so that they can in turn improve their lives and shape the future of this country. This podcast is brought to you by the amazing, the wonderful F-Bomb Nutrition. They make awesome, delicious packets of fats. These are portable snacks that you can carry with you anywhere. It's so hard to find a low-carb snack out there, but these guys have done it. They got macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with pecan butter. They've got awesome meat sticks, and they've got these delicious cheese snacks that they put out there. Plus, they're an amazing company. They send boxes of this stuff out to the troops on the front line. It's not something we ask them to do. It's something they volunteered to do. So if you want to get some of the best low-carb, high-fat snacks on the planet, head over to www.dropanfbomb.com. Use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your first order. This podcast is also brought to you by the amazing, awesome people at Save the Brave. Save the Brave is an organization that provides camaraderie events for veterans. They do fishing events, they do golfing events, they do other sporting events, and they also do a lot of work to help Gold Star families. And look, we've all heard stories about veterans charities where the executive boards are taking these giant salaries, and I don't have a problem with that at all. But here's the thing. I want to make sure that whatever organization I'm talking about is doing amazing work. SaveTheBrave.org is doing absolutely outstanding work. Their board doesn't take any salary whatsoever, and they are having an amazing impact. They're focused on getting veterans to live their absolute best lives, and that's what this podcast is about, and that's why we wanted to work with them. So if you're interested in volunteering or donating to Save the Brave, head over to www.savethebrave.org and make your donation or your request today. Finally, this podcast is brought to you by Warrior Soul Apparel. This is a clothing company that I actually helped to start a couple of years ago as we were beginning the brand Warrior Soul. We've got some amazing t-shirts. We've got skivvy shirts with some pretty funny sayings on there, like, I love Jesus, but I cuss sometimes. We've also got some awesome hero shirts. We have the amazing Hard Times Breed Hard People series. And these are just great shirts that I've helped create. And they support the show. So if you're interested in getting some Warrior Soul shirts, head over to www.warriorsoul.shop. And finally, if you're interested in joining a new group that we are putting together here at Warrior Soul, a group for those who are looking to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries, stick around to the end. We'll have some information for you to check out. With that, let's get into the episode. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. And that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast.
What's going on, ladies and gents? I have an outstanding conversation for you. It's with Mr. Nick Baer. Nick was a U.S. Army Ranger. He served as an officer. And he, while he was in, he started a company. nutrition company. It's called Bear Performance Nutrition, and they make nutraceuticals. They started off with like pre-workouts, and now they're deep into performance and nutraceuticals that help you to become healthier, that help your body to perform more efficiently. And Nick himself is a really inspirational dude. He's a big muscular guy, but he just started triathlon training. So he's becoming an ultra endurance athlete. He competed in his first Ironman, and you know, I'm not sure what Ironman standards are, but he did really outstanding without much training or much preparation at all. And now he's training for a marathon, and it's a new adventure for him. He's got an outstanding YouTube channel where he talks about all of his training, talks about all the protocols that he uses. And in this conversation, we go into a little bit about him, his training, and how he got his company off the ground. It's a really great story. Like I said, he started it while he was in the Army. And then, for 3 years, he worked hard at it, didn't take a paycheck. And then finally decided to come on to YouTube, and through YouTube, he's really blown up. So you guys are going to want to listen to this. Those of you who are interested in business, those of you who are interested in training, you're all going to get something out of this conversation. And with that, let's get into this conversation with Mr. Nick Bear of Bear Performance Nutrition. Nick, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Where are you located right now?
So we're 20 minutes north of Austin, Texas, in a town called Round Rock, Texas.
Nice.
Beautiful, beautiful spot.
Is that where you're from?
No, I'm originally from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Central Pennsylvania, right outside of Hershey. Mm-hmm. And I grew up there my entire life. 2013, I graduated from college and I went into the Army, which sent me down to Fort Benning, Georgia for a year. From Fort Benning, Georgia to Fort Hood, Texas. And then I did my time in Texas, got out of the military, and decided, well, I want to stay down here. So ever since then, been in Texas.
Austin's a great place, man. I got to go there a few years ago for Paleo FX, and I was so impressed with the city. I would love to move out there if I can get my girl to agree to do it and move away from family out here. I'm in California.
The area is growing like no other. I mean, I got down here like 2014, and Austin was, even then, was a different city. Like, you could drive into Austin, not really any problems with traffic. Now, I think it's like 100 plus people move into the city a day. Mm-hmm. So we lived downtown Austin last year, loved it, but our warehouse is like 30 minutes away. So with traffic, it was getting out of control. So we pushed north, and still going to the city on a weekly basis, but man, it's a great spot.
Nice, man. And so along the way there, so you said you graduated from college, you joined the Army, you went to Ranger School and everything like that, and then you served as an infantry officer?
Yep. Yeah, so I went to school in Western Pennsylvania. It's called Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Studied nutrition out there, and I was on an Army ROTC scholarship. So I ended up branching infantry, and branch infantry, graduate 2013, commissioned Fort Benning, Georgia. I knocked down infantry officer basic course, Ranger School, Airborne School, Bradley Leader course. And then 2014, I got to Fort Hood, Texas as an infantry platoon leader. I was lucky enough to be an infantry platoon leader for 2 years.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. You get that small unit experience for a while there, right?
Yeah. I mean, after that, my last like 6 months in the Army, I spent at a big battalion, S3 operations, and I quickly realized, yeah, being down at the platoon level beats being in the battalion headquarters like a mile.
Yeah. I always felt bad for officers because, you know, you get your time in the platoon, but then you got to move on. You got to do all kinds of paperwork and deal with all the other crap and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How'd you get into nutrition at such a young age? Like, you knew at 18 years old that you wanted to do something with nutrition?
Yeah. I mean, so in high school, like all my friends, they started picking up like weights and going to the gym before me. It wasn't until, like, I was a senior in high school that I started picking up the weights, and I quickly just fell in love with it. I fell in love with like the food aspect of it. And I, at the time, I got really into like bodybuilding and putting on size and strength, getting as big as possible. And I knew I was going into the Army after college. So like, I knew that was the goal from the bat. But I was like, man, what do I want to study that I really like am passionate about? Because like for most people, they go to college, it's like, okay, I have to study something in college that is going to get me a job after after college, right? But like for me, I knew I was going to the Army. But I knew that that degree wasn't really going to be applicable for the first 4 years I was out. I was like, all right, let's just find something that I really enjoy, that I'm passionate about, that I love. And nutrition was one of those things.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, I think back on it because I went to school, you know, I was in the Marine Corps. I went to school. I got into bodybuilding like hardcore. So I opened up a gym in Long Beach, California called Metroflex Gym Long Beach. I had a lot of hardcore guys out there like CT Fletcher, Mike Rashid, all those guys. And I got into it like really through osmosis because, you know, as a kid, I'd done powerlifting. I'd done a lot of that stuff because I didn't grow up with a dad and my mom wanted me to get stronger for football and stuff. But really, like, it wasn't until my 30s that I really developed a passion for the science behind the nutrition. Before that, it was just load up on chicken breasts and load up on this and load up on that and just see what your body does. But it's such an interesting field. And I fell in love with it. And I can't imagine being able to do it from such a young age and really, you know, studying it and integrating it into your life like that.
Well, it's interesting because like, obviously as you start learning more about things, your ideas, your beliefs kind of evolve as you become more educated in spaces. So like, when I first got into the whole nutrition thing, it was like, I got into it because I wanted to be this bro bodybuilder, right? So it was like, you know, chicken, rice, clean foods, like stuff like that. And at one point I remember like I was just trying to put on size and strength. So I was eating like 600 grams of carbs a day and like 300 grams of protein. And I was like, man, I feel strong in the gym, but when I'm not in the gym, I feel like garbage. Like,
I'm
heavy. I'm like, it's like my diet now is so different than what it used to be when I first got into it. And like, you know, you find things that work for you and you evolve and you adapt and it's like, wow, it's completely different.
Yeah. I got up to 225 pounds and I'm only like 5'8". And I remember like getting dizzy after like tying my shoes. It was ridiculous.
Oh yeah. I mean, like I was at a point where I was like not functional at all, you know?
Yeah.
And my training right now and my nutrition is just, it's so different from when I first started. But it's, you know, you evolve, you learn your body, you learn theory and practice, and then you experiment and, oh, well, this works for me. This doesn't work for me, you know, stuff like that.
Well, you just went from that and you just competed in an Ironman triathlon, right? You did really well, right?
Yeah. So I just finished the Ironman Panama City, Florida. That was November 2nd. And I ended up with a time of 11 hours, 28 minutes.
Wow.
And that was my first triathlon ever. It was funny because I'm one of these people that I decide I want to do something. And even if I don't know how I'm going to get there, I'll figure it out along the way. So I was like, I'm going to do an Ironman. And I walk into this local bike shop. And, you know, at the time I was like 225 pounds. I walk into the bike shop and I was like, yeah, I'm looking for, you know, a bike. And they're like, well, what are you looking to do? I was like, I'm looking to do an Ironman. They're like, have you ever done a triathlon before? I was like, nope. First one. I'm ready to learn. So it's like, I signed up for this Ironman, not really even knowing what the Ironman was, but like, it's just like the, you know, the hype behind it and like the buildup behind it. I was like, man, I'm attracted to that. I want to do that.
Part of that too is like the gift of ignorance, right? Because you don't really know what you're getting yourself into, but by the time the race comes around, you've done so much preparation that it's already too late, right? You can't just back out or nothing like that, right?
I think that's like how I live my entire life. Like, I'm just ignorant to the things that I get myself in. Like starting a business, started my business, Bear Performance Nutrition, in 2012. And I was completely ignorant to the fact of how much work and what it was going to take. But I was like, man, I want to do that. I'm in it for the long haul. Let's figure it out. So like, I always talk about, I think so many people don't take action on things in their life because they just become so paralyzed by overanalyzing things, you know, like paralysis by analysis.
Yeah. Big time paralysis by analysis. You're exactly right. Because I see a lot of people there, you know, I know a lot of people who want to be entrepreneurs and they're constantly planning. They're constantly taking this digital course, that digital course, trying to get this, trying to get that. But I mean, the reality is you just got to start. I mean, and if you sit there and you worry about every contingency, every single thing, you're just going to sit there for years and you're never going to pull the trigger on what you want to do with your life. And you're going to watch people around you surpass you in every single way.
It's shoot and move. You know, it's like, make a decision, move on it. Like make a decision, move on it. I think like, you know, I went to high school, I went to college with people that were 20 times smarter than I am. Mm-hmm. But like, I look back at like what they've accomplished and it's like, well, they are constantly overanalyzing all the risk. They're trying to mitigate all the risk. Like you can mitigate some risk, but you have to, you know, there's going to be some risk involved if you want to do something big. So it's like, just dive in head first.
Yeah, no, exactly. When I started this podcast, I literally woke up one day and said, you know, it'd be cool. I'm going to start a podcast. And I literally just got it up on iTunes that day, sat here, didn't have a microphone, nothing like that. Like my first 10 episodes, the audio was awful. And I was just sitting here and I tried like speaking directly into the laptop. And I tried closing my room. I tried hanging pillows around myself so that the sound would reverberate and finally figured out that I needed a microphone and then finally figured out the sound engineering and all that stuff. And then finally, after like, you know, 10, 15 episodes, started inviting guests on. And I see so many people that are scared to reach out to guests. They're scared to invite people on a podcast. They want to do it, but they're just sitting there, man. And it's insane to me.
I think you know, we're in this space where like there's so much you can create. Like social media has created all these opportunities, right? But mm-hmm. like you're either an absorber or a creator. And like so many people are just consuming all day, every day. And like they watch these people and they want to do what they're doing, but it's like they don't think they can ever get there. Well, to get there, it's as easy as just like taking one step forward and then another step forward, you know? And it's like, it's all it takes. Like instead of just being a consumer all the time, we'll start being a creator. If that's what you want to do, if that's where you want to be.
Be a creator or a producer, because that's something that got put to me at a young age. And it was actually from the Marine Corps. I had a friend, he was looking to get into business after the Marines. And he said, you know, in life you could be either a consumer or a producer. All right. And if you're a consumer, you're limited to what you're consuming. You're not putting out anything into the world. You're basically giving up all your fuel to consume. If you're a producer, you're producing, you're controlling what you're putting out there into the world, and you're going to get something in return. And that's really, really awesome advice for people at home, especially you young guys who are thinking about getting out and trying to do something in the civilian world.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many direct messages and emails I get like every single day where people like they want to start a business because they see like, you know, what I've built, and they're just like, what do I need to do to get there? And it's like, well, it's like, man, I can't fit this in a DM or an email. Like you need to take the first step, and like you'll find out along the way what it takes to get there. I mean, like learning through experience has been the best way I've learned.
Did you know you wanted to start a nutrition company before you got out of the Army?
Well, I actually started my nutrition company before I joined the Army. I started it in 2012 when I was a junior in high school or junior in college. So, you know, the bank USAA, the Military Associated Bank, mm-hmm. Well, they offer, ROTC cadets. At least they did when I was in, and they call it a pre-commissioning loan. So it's a loan up to $25,000, and you can get it like the beginning of your, it's like you can get it, I guess, your junior year of college, but you don't have to start making payments until 6 months after you commission. So you don't start making a payment until like for like 18 to 24 months. Mm-hmm. And most of these people that I was going to school with were taking this money out and they were buying like a new car to start their next chapter in life. They were buying an engagement ring. They go on a vacation. I was like, man, I'm going to take this money out. I'm going to start a business. So mm-hmm. because I was going to school for nutrition and I loved the whole like, you know, bodybuilding supplement space, 2012, I launched Bear Performance Nutrition. We launched our first pre-workout and an amino acid supplement. And I thought that first year I was going to make $1 million. I told my dad, I was like, I'm going to make $1 million this year. I think like year one, we made $25,000. Year two, we made $25,000. And year three, we made like $20,000. I was like, damn, this is harder than I thought.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as I was trying to grow the brand, I was also in and out of military schools. I was in Ranger school for 4.5 months. I was, you know, at Fort Benning. And when I finally got to Fort Hood, that's when I started my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So started my YouTube channel in 2014. And that's when things started to grow. So as my social presence started to grow, business started to grow. And then from 2014 to 2019, you know, we've scaled the company to a multiple seven-figure brand.
So during that first 2 years, right? So you had the first 2 years where you made about 25,000. You had that dip in the third year. And then you said you started the YouTube channel. How'd you start on YouTube? Was it just like broadcasting yourself, showing your day, doing day in the lives kind of stuff? Or
yeah, I mean, I started YouTube not with the intent to even grow Bear Performance Nutrition necessarily. Mm-hmm. So I got to Fort Hood, and at the time my unit was in Germany for like 45 to 60 days or something. So I had all this free time. So all I had to do was go into the battalion, check in, and then pretty much go back to, you know, my apartment. So I was like, well, I have this free time. I'm going to start a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And this was actually the third attempt at starting a YouTube channel. My first two attempts in college, I put up videos. Those videos would get shit on and they'd get some hate comments. So I delete the videos, I delete the channel. So this time I was like, well, I'm going to invest. I bought a $500 camera. I bought all the gear I needed. And I started documenting like my workouts, recipes, full day of eating, just documenting my day sometimes. And it started from like filming just in my apartment to then taking the camera to the gym to then filming like downtown Austin and like day in the life videos. And it wasn't until my unit got sent to South Korea for a 9-month rotation that I was like, all right, well, I was like, I guess I'll bring my camera. Cause I just figured that my channel was going to die off when I went to South Korea, like 9 months of not creating any content. Like that's the end of it. So I took all my camera gear to South Korea, ended up having a lot of free time in South Korea. So I kept filming YouTube videos. And because, you know, like all we're doing is working and being on posts and whatnot, I started sharing some of the Army stuff. So I started sharing like day in the life of the infantry platoon leader, taking my GoPro to PT, filming some PT sessions, stuff like that. And one video, like, you know, this was probably 2016. At this point, I had like 30,000 subscribers on YouTube. So I built this platform with like maybe 200 videos at that point. And one day I was just like, you know, I'm going to film my day as an infantry platoon leader. So I took my camera around with me. I filmed like my squad leaders, my NCOs, interviewed my platoon sergeant and stuff like that, and posted it on YouTube. And this video went viral. Like it went to like a million views in like 30 days. And it took my YouTube channel from 30,000 subscribers to 80,000 subscribers in like a month and a half.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And at that point, what are you thinking?
I mean, it felt like a dream, you know, like I spent like 2 years trying to build this platform. And it's like, well, I just doubled my platform in 30 days. Like, so I was like, all right, well, here's a niche. I was like, no one on YouTube is documenting the process of being in the military and especially being in the infantry right now. So I was like, I'm going to double down on this. I'm going to keep creating military content. And I like to think to myself that I was one of the first people doing this in the space, but I start filming military content and documenting the process of being in Korea. And people just started finding these videos and YouTube started recommending them to more people. And I grew this platform to over 100,000 by the time I left South Korea. And when we first got to South Korea, my company was doing like $2,000 to $3,000 a month in revenue. And my goal when I got there was I'm going to grow this company. My goal was by the time I left South Korea, I want to be making $10,000 a month. So I want to be making six figures within Bear Performance Nutrition revenue wise. And within the first 90 days of being there, I hit that 10,000 a month revenue mark.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And did you have a team working at home? Were they like handling the warehouse, handling the shipping and stuff like that?
So at that point, all the shipping was being done out of a room in my parents' house. And it was my brother and my dad that were fulfilling orders. So when we got there, it was maybe like two orders a day. If that's like, it wasn't that time, like didn't take too much time. But by the time I was, you know, leaving South Korea, it was like, you know, multiple orders a day, doing $10,000 a month in revenue. So volume increased. And my dad and my brother are still packing orders out of this room in our house. So I made a deal with my brother. So he graduated college. It was like the year I got to South Korea. Mm-hmm. So he had a full-time job. As soon as he got out of college, he's working like for 6 months. He didn't really like it that much. I was like, hey, like, you should move out of Pennsylvania, move to Texas, so that when I get back from South Korea, we can team up, grow this brand together, and like double down. So he quit his job. He moved from Pennsylvania to Texas. He carried all the inventory we had, which wasn't much, in a U-Haul van. He moved into the house that I owned in Texas. And I told him, I was like, I can't pay you. You know, I can't even pay myself. But like, I believe in this vision. And if you believe in it, let's do this. So he quit his job. He moved down. And we started working on building the brand.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so, you know, it was really, number one, when you introduced that niche aspect of the military life to your YouTube channel, that kind of started taking off, right? It was the combination of those things.
Yep.
I think a lot of people don't realize that by making your audience a little bit more narrow and a little bit more specific, you can actually get exponential growth that way, because it allows people to find you a lot easier.
Yeah. I mean, when I first got started, I had no vision of like where I wanted to take the company and where I wanted to be. So my plan of attack at that point was, well, I'm just going to look at my competition and do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I was just copying my competition in the beginning, which did nothing for me. Like, I was always 2 to 3 years behind everyone. And I didn't do this on purpose, but it wasn't until I realized, well, okay, let's stand out somehow. We have this content that is unique, like no one else in the market. We're creating content now that's like no one else. Let's be like no one else. Let's be unique. Let's be like proactive rather than reactive. And once I took that approach, that's when things just, they clicked.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So stand out in some way. Don't be afraid to be different from everybody else. And if you're just sitting there, at first you kind of got to imitate, right? I mean, because you're going to look at your competition, you're going to see where they're at, you're going to try and do the things they're doing, but you got to figure out a way to stand out and be different, especially in today's world where everything's so saturated. Literally everybody's on social media. Everybody's putting some kind of content out there. You got to figure out a way to stand out.
Oh yeah. I mean, like if you look at the fitness space, and I'll preface it by saying this, like my goal in life, and I think I'm on my way there right now, is that like when people come across, when people like talk about my name or people bring my name up to other people, I want them to say, man, Nick Bear, he does things different. Mm-hmm. Like that's the perception I want to give off. Cause if you look at like the fitness space right now, you can look at 100 different profiles, people, and they're all doing the same thing. They're all trying to do the same thing. And it's like, where do you stand out? Like, where do you resonate with more people? And that's kind of where like my content and my journey is going now, like with, you know, but like my goal, my mission is to enable people to push past and break past physical and mental barriers they place on themselves. Because I believe like, you know, I look back at my infantry platoon, and because when I was a platoon leader, I would go to PT and I'd give like these motivational speeches because I'd get pissed because I'd see my guys in the platoon and these dudes were so gifted, like so talented. Like they could, when they got out of the military, they could accomplish and kill the world. Like they could own the world, you know? And they didn't like believe in themselves. They didn't think they had that. And like, that is stuck with me forever. And I'm like, man, like that's what I want my content to do. Like I want people to watch, be like, well, this dude, Nick Bear, this average guy, he's going out and training for an Ironman. You know, he's going to try and qualify for Boston. I'm going to train for the Moab 240. Like he's just an average dude, but like, he's just taking that step to do it. So like, that's what I want my content to get across.
That's amazing. And, you know, one of the things about the veteran community is that, you know, as an enlisted Marine, I would look up to my NCOs, like they were gods, right? And you look at what a lot of these guys did when they were in the military. I mean, you, as a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps, you're in charge of so much. And literally you're a 19, 20 year old kid, right? But for some reason they get out and they don't believe in themselves like they did. And, you know, one of the reasons why I started this podcast is because a few years ago, I'm looking out at what's going on in the veteran community. And we're talking about the suicide rates where the number 22 is being plastered everywhere. And it's like we're some kind of a victim class that needs help and needs all these other things, right? And I didn't like the way that was going. And so, you know, one of the things I've always tried to do is bring people like you on here who've shown that we're not victims at all. I mean, we're people who can get things done in the civilian world if we apply ourselves and we take what we've learned and really push ourselves to do something that's going to be worth it in the civilian world.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
With your company, you got up to that $10,000 a month mark, right? You got your brother working with you. From there, you know, obviously new growth brings new problems, right? You probably had logistical issues. You probably had to you know, figure out a way to warehouse this stuff. Where'd you go from there?
So I got back from South Korea and it was just timed up that when I was getting back, I started my transition process out of the military. And that like last year was like the craziest time of my life. I would sleep like 2-3 hours a night because we signed a lease for a warehouse, which was 45 minutes away from Fort Hood. And we moved to be close to the warehouse. So we're building this warehouse up. And at the time I knew we had to move out of my house into a warehouse because like my house was 1,100 square feet. There were supplements in every bedroom, in the kitchen, in the garage, in the living room. Like we were sleeping around boxes. I was like, all right, well, and like tractor trailers were dropping off pallets in my house. Like you just can't do that in a residential area. So we signed this lease for a warehouse, which is a big jump and I was, you know, risky. And we moved closer to be the warehouse. So between like building the warehouse up, filming YouTube videos, creating content, trying to grow the brand. And I was still like in the transition process of the military. So I wake up at like 4, driving to work. I work until like 5 p.m. With the Army. And then I drive back to the warehouse. We build the warehouse, film YouTube videos, create content until like, you know, midnight. And then I would edit until 2 a.m. And then same thing every single day for a year. And like that whole year is just a blur. But like talking about like problems that year, it's like, you know, in 2017, we hit our first 7-figure mark. So we had a massive expansion from like 2016 to 2017. We did 7 figures, but like the problems that arose from that were like no other because cash flow became an issue. You know, right. as a growing brand that relies on product and we didn't have like, you know, long established relationships with our manufacturers at that point, we'd have to put, if we placed a production order, which had 12-week lead times, I'd put 50% of that money down. And then when it shipped, I'd pay the remaining 50%. And then what was happening is because we were growing so fast, I would sell onto the inventory in like a week or two. And then I had to put more money down to place bigger production orders. So like all this cash was tied up in inventory that we didn't have for 12 weeks. And I think every night for a year, I went to bed thinking like, I'm about to lose my shit. Like I don't know how I'm going to get out of this hole. Cause I felt like I was in the rabbit wheel because we were growing so fast and we were making all this money, but every dollar we made, I was putting back in the brand. You know, I was putting back into inventory to try to grow it. And we slowly, like after a year, got out of that hole where like, you know, we managed that cash flow. We got ahead. We weren't running out of inventory all the time. And at that point is when like I transitioned out of the military. And that was the first time I started paying myself. So I didn't pay myself for the business for 5 years. And I didn't pay my brother, you know, for 5 years either. So 2017, it was the first time we all went on payroll.
Mm. And so how was your brother surviving at this point? Cause you obviously had your Army salary. What was he doing to make, was he doing something to make cash on the side or something like that? Or
no, I mean, he had money saved up from like 6 months of work, which wasn't much, but like he wasn't paying for a house because, you know, I covered the mortgage, the house. And then he was using my truck while I was in Korea. When I got back from Korea, he got a car with a low payment. But like I just paid for all the food. I covered the expenses, and then we just worked 24/7.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome.
It was a wild time to be alive.
But the thing is too, and this is another thing that people don't understand. Like, I think people get out of college or they get out of the military and they're so quick to settle down to say, hey, I need to have a house. There's got to be a picket fence there. I need a car, all these different things. But when you're young and you're in your 20s, like, dude, you could live on a couch. Like, you can travel around and live in freaking poverty, and it's going to be okay if you're building something else up, right? But when you get to be my age, I'm 40 now, like, that's when it starts to slow down, and you're not going to be able to do that like you could. So, you know, when you're young, don't be afraid to do shit like that. You know, don't be afraid to start something and then sleep in the warehouse room or something like that. I mean, doing something like that could add up to so many big things in your life down the line.
Oh, I mean, 2017 was like probably the hardest year that we've had. Like, I mean, just difficult going through like growing pains. But we look back and we talk about that year all the time just because it was the most fun we've all ever had, because like every day had a purpose. You know, every day it was like we had a bunch to do, and it was just like trying to figure it out. Cause at that point we were still trying to establish systems. We were trying to figure out how this whole business thing worked. And we launched our first Black Friday that year, just craziness, but so much fun.
And that probably also eased your transition out of the Army as well, because you're so focused on this next mission. Like, you know, a lot of guys get depressed when they get out, right? And they miss it a lot. And I'm sure you miss it as well, but you're probably just so focused on this next mission that you're like, I just got to move on with my life, right?
Yeah. There was a point in time where I debated on going back in after getting out, because I did miss it. But I was like, man, I got this thing, I got this business, I got two employees at this point, I have responsibilities. Like, as much as I miss it, I have a responsibility to grow this brand. And we were just so focused.
Hey guys, I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. I wanted to take a moment to talk to you about a group we have here at Warrior Soul. It's called the Warriors Obituary Society. Basically, it's a group for men that empowers its members to live absolutely epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. It starts with an 8-week development program. And in this program, you are going to outline your vision. You're going to get very clear about what you want out of this life. You're going to detail specific goals for yourself. And then we're going to get to work. We're going to help you to build your own customized fitness and nutrition plan. We're going to help you to build your own customized finance plan so you can start knocking down debt, start saving up money, and start building your dreams. And then we're going to help you to focus on your relationships, building an outstanding network, and getting focused on your career or business. This program is packed with challenges and assignments that are going to bring you closer to your goals than you've ever been. And it doesn't stop after the first 8 weeks. Each month we're getting together, each week we're getting on live calls, and we're constantly pushing each other over our live Slack forum. Nothing on the Warriors Obituary Society is done over social media, because we don't want you getting distracted and we don't want you feeling like anybody's staring over your shoulder. This life doesn't last forever. You only get a limited amount of time to be here and to do all the things that you want to do. And that's what the Warriors Obituary Society is about. It's getting you to do those things that are going to move your life forward. So if you're interested in this, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. That's warriorobituarysociety.com. Check it out. If you have any questions at all, just email me directly at chris@warriorsoulagogi.com. That's chris@warriorsoulagogi. That's AGOGE.com. And I'll be happy to sit down with you even for a few minutes over a phone call if you've got questions about what the group entails and whether or not it's right for you. I look forward to seeing you guys in there. And now let's get back to the interview. So, was there a point in time where you decided, you know, you had yourself, your brother, you said you had two employees. Was there a point in time when you realized that you had to hire more people, and how'd you go about that?
So we grew small and we stayed lean. So like we treated each employee as we hired as a Swiss Army pocket knife, or like, you know, we were building a team where each teammate wanted to do whatever they had to do to help it grow. Right. Right now we have like 7 in-house and we outsource some work. So like we have a new employee that is coming down. He just moved down yesterday from Ohio. He starts Thursday. He's going to be our full-time videographer, photographer, media guy in house. So we've grown small and we grew slow, but it's like we grew smart as well. So like there's things that we outsource, but there's also things that we keep in house. But like hiring is probably one of the hardest things to do as a business owner, I would say.
And what have you learned from that? Like, have you learned to read people a little bit better? Have you learned to really like detect talent among in the people you're interviewing?
Yeah, I mean, people apply, send us emails for a job like every day. And like for me, like I could care less about a college resume. Like people will send me their college resume with like, hey, looking for like send an email like, hey, looking for a job. Here's my resume. Like I won't even open that resume. Like that's how you're gonna propose you want a job here. Okay, delete that email. I look more for like experience, or like even if you don't have experience, you want to be a part of a team. Because like for us here, because of our mission and what we're trying to accomplish and the lives we're trying to change, if you're not willing to be part of a team and you don't believe in that vision, then you have no part of being a part of this team or being a part of this company. So like, you have to truly want to see Bayer Performance Nutrition grow. And you have to truly want to help change the lives of people and help them break past these physical and mental barriers. And if you don't want to be a part of that, then there's no place for you here, you know? So I've definitely been able to like read people better as I've done this more and what I look for. And sometimes you can just tell if someone's genuine or if they're not. You can tell by having a conversation with someone if like they genuinely want to make a difference, they want to help, or if they're just looking for a job for a paycheck.
Part of that, I think, comes because I get a lot of emails from people who say they want to support the show, they want to do this, they want to do that. Part of it, I think, too, like they should have a specific idea as to how they're going to help you too, right? Like what they're going to add. And they should lay that out for you, because otherwise you as the CEO, you as the leader, you've got to take your time to figure out how you're going to fit this puzzle piece into the organization. And that's just, you know, it's going to take more of your time to do that. But if they're giving you an idea as to how you can use them, then that's going to, you know, show them to be heads and shoulders above everybody else, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've had a few emails from people that stand out where it's like, they'll watch my YouTube videos and they'll watch our operations. They'll watch our shipping setup, and then they'll list, hey, here's my recommendations of how I would improve the company and help move you guys forward. I'm like, well, that's shit hot. Like, that's what I want to see. But like, I also get people that hit me up that's like, hey, looking for a job. It's like, okay, I'm deleting that. Or it's like, they just want to be, you know, people watch us on social media. And I mean, the things that we show on social media, like us having a good time and us working and stuff, they think it's just chill here. They think it's just like, we show up to work, we film some YouTube videos, sit back and like, bullshit. But like, people don't realize, like, this is like, we work a lot and we work hard. You know, it's not just what you see on social media, but like there's a lot that goes behind the scenes of creating just one video. So I think a lot of people also don't realize what goes into all of this.
Right. There's a giant iceberg underneath what you see on the surface.
Right.
Do you get a lot of emails from people who are like, dude, I'm a amateur bodybuilder. I've got a great physique. I think you should sponsor me and things like that.
Yeah, we get sponsorship emails daily as well. And the thing I always say back is like, unfortunately, man, like this is a different day in space now. Like, it's great that you're winning shows. That's great that you're like doing well. But like, what's your social media presence like? That's what matters right now. Like, unless you're you got a big following and you're trying to grow that following, like following. So I think people get turned off by the idea like, well, how many followers do you have? Well, I'm not asking like how many followers you have, but like, how much work do you put in to grow a community? Like, what benefit, what value you're going to provide the brand? Because I'm not just going to pay you and give you supplements for free. There needs to be, you know, a trade-off. So like, are you out there like busting your ass, creating content and trying to educate people and inspire people? And through that, helping build our brand? And if so, well, maybe there's an opportunity there. But if not, there's not an opportunity there.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, you can't just go into something because it's going to be good for you. It's got to be good for both people involved, both parties involved. And you got to really look at business as a two-way street. What value can you bring to the person that you're trying to make an offer to?
Right. Yeah, I mean, when I first got started too, I'll be honest, when I first got started doing social media stuff, I was reaching out to companies all the time saying, mm-hmm. I'd love to work together.
Right.
But at the time, at least I was creating content. I was trying to like get started. But I think some people, they just want stuff for free. And it's like, man, the world doesn't work like that.
No, not at all. And doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter. Like, there's a lot, I get a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm a veteran. I've done this. I've done that. There's a lot of people out there who are veterans. There's a shit ton of us, right? What are you going to do to stand out? What kind of value are you going to bring? That's what matters, right? Yeah. And you got to be willing to bring value to everything that you're doing. Because if you're not, then nobody's going to want to work with you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think sometimes people, like, they'll do something in their life and they think that's going to carry them through forever. But like, to continuously be successful, you have to keep moving forward. And to keep moving forward, you have to keep like doing things. You know, it's like, I think that's what turns a lot of people off, is it doesn't ever stop. You know, right. You got to keep pushing forward and keep pushing forward. You got to keep doing something.
Yeah, it really doesn't. And the more you grow, the more you got to do. Like right now, you're leading a company and you're doing Ironman triathlons, which is a sport I'm sure you probably never thought you would have gotten into, but now you're in it. And that takes a lot of time to train for one of those things, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, for the last 6 months, my fiance hasn't seen me on a Saturday just because it was like 6 to 8 hour training sessions. But it's like, across that finish line 2 weeks ago, it's like, man, all this training, all this work paid off, you know, and it paid off in the accomplishment feeling of crossing that finish line. It paid off in terms of helping the business grow. And it paid off in terms of inspiring people to do things that they wouldn't have done before watching that series. You know, so there's a payoff to all that.
What types of things did you learn about yourself and your body in the process of training for that event?
I think like from a mental aspect, I think, you know, I always say that Ranger School is the hardest thing I've done that I put myself through. And I always say that anything after that would be easy. But in terms of a physical, like, the human body is an amazing thing, and it can do things that you never thought it would do. And it's adaptable. It adapts. It changes. So like, you put your body through this stimulus, this stressor of training and increasing volume and speed, and like, your body will adapt too. So like, once you realize that, it's like, well, what else can my body do? Like, where, how much further can I push it? And that's kind of my mindset right now. It's like, well, I want to find out what else my body's capable of. And I'm going to tread those waters.
That's awesome. And so, you know, I heard a lot of people talk about triathlons as, when you're going through it, I mean, it's a huge, huge production. Like, the way Ironman has everything, it's really organized. You're in a crowd at the beginning. But then at some point, you know, you're running that marathon and you're by yourself, and then there's nothing but pain and there's nothing but darkness. And that's when the thoughts start creeping in. Did that happen to you?
Yeah. So like, the first 10 hours felt really, really good. And then the last hour and 28 minutes is where it started to suck. When I hit 13 miles on the run and I had 13 miles left, that's when it started to hurt. I mean, you go to a dark place, like, you know, in the beginning, it's how you describe it. In the beginning, it's all these people, it's big groups. You're looking around, you take a big breath of fresh air and it feels good. And then towards the end, it's like tunnel vision. It's just you in the race. And it's like, yeah, I know where the finish line is. I just have to get my body there. Right. And I personally love that. Like, I live for that feeling. I mean, that's why I do a lot of these things. Because I love that feeling. Because I know that feeling, it produces growth.
Right.
You know, so I search for that feeling because I know I'm going to grow from those those times.
Right. It's a lot of the same kind of thing that you're going to experience in business if you're trying to start something from the ground up, because there's going to be months where you don't think anybody's listening. You don't think anybody's out there that cares. And you got to reach within yourself to keep going, because especially in today's day and age, like, there's a lot of shiny objects out there that can take you off your path, right? Particularly in business, because you'd be out there applying for jobs. You could have gone back into the Army. You probably could have gotten any number of executive careers and things like that, but you had a dream, you had a vision, and you kept going for that, and you chose the more lonely and scary path, right?
Oh yeah. But like, you know, I think once you do this for a little bit, like, I know I was born to do this. Like, this is where, I mean, this is my life. You know, like right. Without this, like, without this company, I don't know where, like, what my life would be or what I'd be doing, you know? But like, I know, like, I have so much passion behind all of this mm-hmm. that I wouldn't trade this for anything.
Did you ever write down a vision or anything like that, or like really specify that at the beginning, or is this something that just kind of evolved as you were going along?
It evolved. Like, in the beginning, my goal was to sell supplements to everyone and anyone. I didn't have a target market. Like I said, I was ignorant when I started it. But it evolved as I grew and became more educated in business. You know, where it's like, I learned strictly from experience and failures. And I failed a lot, and I wasted tens of thousands of dollars and time and resources. But I never made those mistakes again. So like, all the experiences along the way landed me right here now.
That's awesome, man. And when you are looking at yourself right now, right, you've experienced all this massive growth. Where do you want to take the brand? What's going to happen in the next 5 years?
I mean, like, everything we're doing right now is, like, 2019 was a massive investment year to grow the brand in, like, in the future years. Like, I paid myself less in 2019 than I did in 2017 and 2018, because everything, like, I want to do is investing back into the business. So, like, things we're working on right now is we invested to get our products third-party tested for sport in the military. So that'll be happening in the next couple months. We invested into app development to create an app for training programs within our supplement company's app. But it's like, how do we reach more people, and how do we help those people reach their goals? So a lot of it's going to be like content creation and generation, creating platforms and solutions for problems people are experiencing with training and nutrition. And it's like actually getting out there and helping them. So, like, you know, I'd love, my goal is to be a $100 million company with 100 plus employees, where, like, we are changing the lives of people every single day. And that's where I want to be. And I think we're taking the steps to get there right now. But I think a lot of people get a little taste of success, and they feel like they're winning, so that then they become, you know, this is it. This is where I want to be. Yeah, but for us, it's like, yeah, they become complacent. But for us, it's like, we got that little taste, and it's like, okay, we know we have the potential. Let's go all in. Let's scale this thing. And, you know, I know it's working when the team, and not just me, comes in the office and is willing to work more hours to get paid less to grow it in the future. And that's an awesome feeling.
That's outstanding, man. That's outstanding. And so what's your daily schedule like right now? Because I know you just got through this triathlon, but, like, you know, how are you incorporating your training, your workout routine, along with what I'm sure is an insane schedule, to get all this work done?
Yes. Like, right now, well, it depends on the time of the year. Right now, we're so focused on Black Friday that it's crazy hours. But all of my training kind of gets pushed either early in the morning or late at night. And then I get into the office here around 7:30, 8 a.m. and everyone's here already packing orders, fulfilling stuff. A lot of it, like, from my point of view, because a lot has been delegated over the past, you know, 6-12 months of daily operation stuff I have to do, it's vision working. So, like, how do we get the brand to the next level? And it's making small adjustments to website, or working with other graphic designers, hiring this videographer. It's like, what do we have to do to keep moving forward? And I'm more focused on working on the business than working in the business at this point.
Right.
So like our employees, my brother handles a lot of our operations. They're focused on like daily operation stuff, customer support, order fulfillment, logistics, production orders placed. And I'm focused now on like, how do we take it to the next step? So like, I wrote a book this past year. The book is getting published January 28th. That's nice. one of my positions to move us to the next step. And the book is about growing the brand while in the military and the lessons I learned through Ranger School and stuff like that. It's called 25 Hours a Day. So writing that book was one of the things to grow the brand. And doing things like the Ironman or training for to qualify for Boston, the Moab 240, those are things to grow the brand. So like every day is different. You know, every day is different, fun, and exciting, but it's always looking for opportunities to move in a market where other people aren't willing to move.
That's awesome. And you know, when as you're going along with this, is there anybody that you look up to, like any big brands that you know, maybe inspire you and you say, okay, I want to follow that model. There's a lot of people out there who want to follow like the Disney model or the Amazon model or things like that. Is there anybody that really inspires you in that way?
Like when I first got started in the first couple of years, I would look at brands and say, I want to be there. Mm-hmm. But like 2 years ago, I made this decision where I was going to unfollow all those people. I was going to like stop reading people's books because I didn't want what they were doing to influence what I was doing. So now it's like and I know this is very unconventional, but I'm trying to create my own path to set in place that thing I said in the beginning where I want people to say, man, Nick Bear does things different. Right. Well, in order for me to do things different, I need to stop consuming what all these other competitors are doing. So now I'm just trying to write my story without any sort of influence outside.
That's outstanding. That's solid advice. I do a lot of reading. One of the things I try to do with my reading is I try to go old, like 2000 years old. Like I'll read a lot of Stoic philosophy. I've been reading a lot of Montaigne right now, but I find like if I'm reading like biographies of people or things like that, exactly what you said, I start falling into the same kind of patterns of getting overly influenced by what they're doing. And the truth is that what they're doing, if I'm following it to a T, it might not work for me in my situation. Right.
Right.
And that's really, I know we're coming up on time. I want to talk a little bit about your products because I know that particularly with a nutrition brand, you've got to kind of create a product ecosystem. There's going to be products that everybody should be using. And then there's products that are a little bit more specialized. What BPM products should everybody be on?
So I would say Strong Greens, which is our green superfood supplement. Strong Reds is our red superfood supplement. And then, I mean, it really depends what you're doing performance-wise. So I mean, when we first started, we were strictly performance supplements. Pre-workout, amino acids, creatine, and then whey protein. Like whey protein, anyone can benefit from. It's a food. It's not really a supplement. And that's like our performance line. And for the longest time, I thought we were going to be a sports nutrition performance supplement brand. And then we launched our Strong Greens, which is a green superfood supplement. And in the beginning, it was just meant to be an upsell, like an add-on. And that quickly, like once people started trying it in the way it made them feel, like improved digestion, natural energy, there's no stimulants, no caffeine, boosted immune, like just it felt better every single day. That, I mean, now we sell like 5,000 bottles out a month.
Wow.
So now like we have our sports performance line. Now we're growing the health line. So we launched like our Strong Greens, our Strong Reds. We're launching a multivitamin, a joint support supplement. We launched nutrition bars in the past 45 days. So it's like, how do we help people that aren't just focused on going to the gym and training hard and need stimulants, but the people that just want to feel better every single day? And that's where a lot of our research and development has moved forward in the past 6 months.
Right. And that's what helps you stand out from a lot of the performance companies out there, because you're literally getting something out there that is going to fill in all those basic holes that people leave open in their nutrition, because you need those covered before you move into like the whey proteins and the pre-workouts and things like that. Because if you don't have those bases covered, then if you're training for an Ironman triathlon, something's going to break down, right?
Right. And I think, you know, we create products for the market so different than other people do, mm-hmm. is because I train for all these different things. So I started like training. I train all these different things because I want to know what it takes to train for them. Right. So like I did bodybuilding, competed in bodybuilding. I did powerlifting. I competed in powerlifting. I did some CrossFit stuff. I trained for a marathon. I did an Ironman. Now I'm trying to qualify for Boston, and I'm going to do the Moab 240. So like, I do all these different things because I want to know like what supplements do I want to take depending on what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And all the supplements we've created are things that we wanted to use during our training sessions. Right. So like we create things based off of these training models that we actually want to use. So like, that's why it's taken us so long to create this full line, is because, you know, we don't want to come out with every supplement under the sun that you don't need. We want things that, well, we actually want to use ourselves, and we know you guys are going to like too.
Right. Right. Exactly. And so you started out, the first product was the pre-workout, right? And then,
yep.
And then yep. You moved from that, and then you did the whey protein and the other stuff. And then now you're moving into more of the lifestyle, the health stuff.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. And with your R&D process, I mean, do you have a lab that you're going to, or are you investing in a lab and things like that? Or?
Yeah. So we have two manufacturers. We have one in California, in Valencia. And then we have another manufacturer in Dallas, which is like 2.5 hours away. So we'll go back and forth between those two, depending on what projects we're working on and what products we're bringing to market. But like, you know, an R&D process for a new product can take anywhere from 6 months to 2 years, just to change up the formula and the flavors and the dosages of ingredients. So I mean, we talk to our sales rep and our manufacturers multiple times a day, just because we're working on so many new things. Like we have probably 6 products in R&D right now that maybe half or maybe all of them won't make it to market, but we're still testing.
Wow. Wow. Now, as a veteran, what would your advice be to that, you know, 21-year-old, that 22-year-old who's thinking about getting out right now and trying, you know, going to pave their way in the civilian world?
Yeah, I mean, you need a plan. Like the thing is, people reach out, like someone reached out to me yesterday and they said, hey, I'm getting on the Army in 6 months. And when I get out, I want to know, should I start a supplement company or an apparel company? I get that question all the time. Like, dude, like, you know, just because I sell supplements and apparel doesn't mean you got to do the same thing. Like there are so many opportunities and options of things that you can do and businesses you can start. But if you're going to start one, you need to start now. Like if you wait until look at my example, I started my business and I didn't pay myself for 5 years after starting it. Like, if you get out of the military right now, can you survive for 5 years not paying yourself? Like you gotta ask yourself that question. And not everyone is meant to be a business owner. Like not everyone can be an entrepreneur. And like, you know, it might seem like peaches and cream from the outside, but it's really fucking hard. And it's like, it's difficult, and you have to be okay with like living off eggshells pretty much for a long time. But like, you got to have a plan. And the one of the things me and my platoon sergeant tried to implement when I was in was, if you were on your way out, you had to present us a plan of either you're going to college or a business you're starting or a job you're looking for. And, you know, we wanted to see that there was a plan in action for these people that were getting out, because some of my dudes got out and they regret it and they wish they wouldn't have, because they didn't have a plan.
Absolutely. Solid advice, man. Well, number one, I want to acknowledge you because you brought a lot of value to this conversation. I mean, anybody who listens to this conversation is going to get so much and so many valuable pieces of advice. If you're thinking about trying to become an entrepreneur or just trying to figure out what you're going to do when you get out, there's so much there. But number two, you know, I want to acknowledge you for continuing to grind and continuing to try to grow yourself and searching for these ways to expand yourself and to, you know, increase your footprint out there as to how many people you're helping. So good on you, man. And thank you so much for coming on today.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It's a topic that I'm super passionate about, and any opportunity I get to talk about it, it's like, I can feel it. You know, I can feel it in my blood. Like I just love it.
See that, man. And where can people find BPM products?
Yes, so you can go to www.bareperformancenutrition.com. That's B-A-R-E. Mm-hmm. If you go on Instagram, it's B-P-N Sups. Or you can find me on Instagram. It's Nick Bare, B-A-R-E Fitness.
Yeah, your Instagram is outstanding. I mean, the way you've adapted that medium for content distribution purposes, it's awesome. Same thing with your YouTube channel.
I appreciate it. Yeah, YouTube is like, it's a beast. But like, love creating content. It's one of my favorite things to do other than, you know, the business. So being a creator on social media is also something I love doing.
Outstanding. Well, again, Nick, thank you so much for coming on today. And to everybody out there, like I said, go back through this episode, pull out a pen and a piece of paper, take some notes, because there was a lot of information here. As you're moving forward, make sure you got a plan. Make sure no matter what you do, you know, find a mission, find something that you're going to be passionate about. And honestly, it's all about living this life to the best of your ability. So get out there and live your best lives while you can. This is Chris and Nick out.
All right, there you guys have it. That is our interview with Mr. Nick Bare of Bare Performance Nutrition. I am really inspired by that guy. He is such an inspirational individual to be able to just jump into endurance training like that. And the dedication that he's taken to his mission in life and to his business is absolutely awesome. And you guys should definitely go back through that interview. Make sure you're taking notes. For those of you who are interested in opening up businesses, there's so much information in there. And that's what the Warrior Soul podcast is about. It's about empowering you with knowledge that'll help you to live your absolute best life. So if you're getting a lot out of these episodes, make sure you're checking all the rest of the Warrior Soul podcast out. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube and on iTunes. And if you can, pay us the highest compliment by writing us a written rating and review on iTunes. It really helps to spread word about the show, and it helps to get this information into the ears of more veterans. And if you want to support the podcast, you can do so in a couple of different ways. You can buy some gear from our shop up at warriorsoul.shop. We've got amazing t-shirts designed, printed, and made by U.S. Marine Corps veterans. On top of that, if you want to support us on Patreon, you can head over to www.patreon.com/warriorsoulpodcast. We've got some great gifts for those of you who do donate. And then if you want to support yourself with the Warriors Obituary Society, you can head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. Like I said, it's a fantastic group. We've got a great mix of veterans, active duty military, and civilians in there who are all working on their goals and dreams. And we are going to be there to support you if you join. So with that, guys, I want to thank you so much for listening. And we will be back at you next week with some more awesome interviews and outstanding content from the Warrior Soul podcast. This is Chris Albert, and I am out.